Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Being like in panic of, oh my God, what did I just do? And I remember you and mom ran over in like complete like concern, shock, terror of what the hell just happened? Are you okay?
This is On the Fence with Monica Oksanen.
Welcome back to another episode. This is episode 7 of On the Fence with Monica Oksanen. I'm your host, Monica Oksanen. Today, I actually have my baby sister on the podcast with me because she was around during the time that this all happened. So there's parts of the story that she knows that I don't even know. And then there's different things that happened. Anyways, it's also a lot more fun to have a conversation with somebody than me just sitting in a closet and speaking at my microphone. So that's what we're going to do today. And today's episode is the story of how I broke my back. A lot of people don't really know this, but I didn't really talk about it, but I actually had a major injury going into the Olympics. And it's crazy that I had to compete like that. And again, nobody or very few people know about it. So we're kind of going to talk about it. This is in preparation for another episode that I'm going to do with a very good friend of mine. But I wanted to give you guys kind of the story and what I was dealing with, because I think it's a little bit interesting knowing that athletes go through injuries and then have to recover quickly or have to compete with those injuries. So without further ado, here's the story of how I broke my back. So when I qualified for the Olympics, I kind of went into overdrive in terms of training because as we're kind of going to talk more about this, but heading into the 2016 Olympic Games, I was actually going in as an alternate. So for those of you that aren't in fencing, the difference between the Olympics and World Cups and World Championships is that for whatever reason, maybe there is a reason, I've never learned it. It sounds a little crazy to me because it's only different for this one tournament. But normally it's a team event is 3-on-3 with a fourth person as the alternate. But the alternate is considered a team member the entire time. There's no point where they're like, even if you medal and they don't compete, they're still getting that medal. For whatever reason, it's completely different at the Olympics where you compete, or if you don't compete, you're not actually an Olympian. And rules changed a lot actually in my favor right before Rio, or in time for Rio, where as an alternate, I was actually allowed to stay in the village, when that used to be the case where the alternate was not allowed in the village, didn't have any, like no access. They had to be swiped in or allowed in thanks to an actual Olympic teammate.
I didn't know that. That's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, I've been meaning to like find out if there's any like actual reason or if that's how they want to be different and be the Olympics. But it's just crazy to me because at every other tournament, this is how it works. You also used to not get any clothing from like whatever sponsors there were unless you competed. So they would have a bag of clothes for you they would bring to the Olympics. And if you did compete, they would give you that stuff then. And what was even crazier, so if there was an injury, like I heard a story of one of the fencing Olympians broke their leg during the actual match and then the alternate stepped in, the person with the broken leg had to move out of the Olympic village. And
that's
then the person
so
that was an alternate
up.
Moved in to the village in their place. Isn't that crazy? Like you earned the spot for the Olympics, you broke your leg, and now you're being moved out.
And they're like, bye, see ya, never. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, crazy.
That's so
when I heard that
up.
Story, I couldn't understand of like how anybody thought that this was
okay.
Remotely okay or acceptable or anything. Or like what monster thought like even came up with this idea? I don't know. So that's kind of how the story of alternates, whatever. So heading into the Olympics, I knew I was an alternate. And had I not competed, I would have never become an Olympian. I would have never gotten the medal that we won as a team.
Right.
After I qualified in South Korea, that was the end of March. We still had 2 more World Cup and a national tournament. I didn't compete at the national tournament because I didn't have to, I think. No, I did. Just kidding. I did. I got bronze. I drove down there because we had an event and I competed just for why not. And I got bronze, I remember. So we have those tournaments left. And then we also had Pan American Championships or Games, whatever. I confused the two. So I knew I had to, or I wanted to prove myself, to give myself a shot at actually competing at the Olympic. And my sister knows I don't really believe in rest days. Like when I'm in training, I do some kind of like, I'm at the gym like 5-6 days a week, if not 7 days a week. If I'm not at the gym, I'm hiking with the dogs, I'm running at the park, I'm going on long walks. So, and especially at this time, I was just working out nonstop. I wanted to be in the best shape of my life. I wanted to be as prepared as possible.
You don't believe in rest days? Rest days are every day for me. I love a good rest day.
You rest for me.
I rest for everyone in the world.
Got it. There you go, guys. If you think you deserve a rest day, Olivia's already doing it for you, so you should go work out.
I should probably work out, but that's right. I do sometimes. Like, I'm not a lazy bum.
Yeah, but you, like, remember to do it, like, every so often, which just doesn't do a lot.
No, I was consistently working out until mom left, and now I'm working, like, every day. I'll get back into my grind. I've just been in a slump in the past couple of days, probably from Christmas. I don't know.
Happens. Anyways, back to Monica Takes No Rest Days. So I was working with a personal trainer at the time who was somebody I've known for years, and I'll go into kind of how I think this all happened, but we were working together. I had a whole workout plan with, like, doing deadlifts, squats, literally, I mean, everything that you can imagine to just, again, for me to be at the peak. And he did factor in rest days. He has yelled at me in the past for not taking rest days, and he like wrote it in of Sunday was rest day. I was working out, training, all this stuff. And I don't know, as an athlete, you understand this. Maybe a regular person, a muggle, as we call them in college, doesn't understand it. As an athlete, you regularly feel pain. Like it's like part of the job. Like I said, I've heard a lot of times people are like, what do you mean you're in pain every day? You should get that checked out. But like I've had an injury since I'm like 15, my Achilles tendon. I have like tendinosis at this point, which means it's constantly inflamed in a constant state of inflammation. I had knee surgery when I was in college. And then this injury that I'm going to talk about. I also did some, I think I also like fractured my wrist at some point or like,
oh yeah, I remember that.
Always something with me. So like you feel these aches and pains and it's kind of like whatever, unless like they become more severe or they're just happening all the time. So I started feeling this like weird pain in my back sometimes when I would sit down. I remember the first time it like really stuck out in my head was when I was sitting down on the subway. And like I sat down, I was like, huh, that was a strange pain. And like I said, every so often it would repeat. Then we had a tournament in, or no, we had a training camp in Shanghai, China. This was, I believe, May of 2016, beginning of May, mid-May, something along those lines. And I told our doctor at the time, Dr. Jeremy Summers, I came up to him. I was like, hey, Jeremy, I'm starting to have this strange pain in my back. And he's specialized in being a chiropractor, so he understands all that stuff. So he's like, here, like, whatever, as a fencer, you have your problems with your SI joint, all this stuff. Let's just crack your back and we'll fix it. So we like went to crack my back normally. That was fine. At first, we couldn't get my SI joint. And then like maybe at the end of practice, we did. I remember like popped and I was like, oh, like that was uncomfortable, but like, oh my God, it's amazing. I think this must have been a few practices in, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. We finally got it to pop. That same practice, I, towards the end, started having this excruciating pain in my back where I remember I'm literally
like having shivers while you're saying this.
Yeah. Ooh. Imagine me actually going through it and being like, having to remember it. It was to the point where I had to lay down on the strip in fetal position because that was the only thing that was actually helping me. That's how bad it was. And I tried so hard to get through practice and I couldn't. And I remember like I got off, and again, because I didn't want to be showing that I'm not training or that something's happening. So like the national coach didn't even know about this injury. Like I didn't tell him because I didn't want him to know and like cost me the opportunity of going to an Olympic. So I remember I like got off the strip. I went to Jeremy and I was like in tears because it was just this excruciating pain. And I told him whatever. I was like, I can't, I literally can't, like sobbing. Like, I don't know what to do. I rode the bus from camp to the hotel on my back in the back row. Like I had to lay out. People had to move forward. Like we were all spread out on this little like bus minivan that we had. And I laid in the back crying with every single bump. And in China, the roads aren't great. The roads are bad. There's bumps everywhere. And anytime we hit a bump, I literally would just like sob out loud. Horrible. And then we got back to the hotel. Jeremy loved acupuncture and all that stuff and cupping and whatever. And he's like, well, let's relax all of your muscles. Cause my back was just in complete spasm. So I laid on the table, I like 45 minutes, an hour, I don't even remember. And like, you can't move at all for anybody that hasn't done acupuncture. Like legitimately you have to lay still because God forbid the needles bend inside of you. It can mess with your muscle. Laid like that in for like an hour. It helped my back. It was okay. I didn't have that pain anymore. I don't remember the details as much anymore. I'm sure there was like more factors in it, but I know I was getting needled every single evening after practice because I was just in so much pain. So we had a World Cup at that point. Again, I was I just remember being fine. I'm sure I was in pain because there was like nothing that we could really do at that point. It was just like survival and like whatever, making sure that I can compete to the best of my abilities. So then when we got back, Durbin's like, you need to go see a doctor, obviously. I mean, we have the Olympics coming up. We need to figure out what's up with your back so we know what to do. So I remember I went to the doctor, sat around there forever. They like fit me in because this was at the time like they were working with the USOC. So they fit me in for an MRI. I literally spent the entire day at this hospital. So they got me in for an MRI, which for those of you that haven't gotten MRIs, you literally lay in this tube for 45 minutes or 30 minutes. It's freezing cold. You also can't move. So I got that. Again, I had to wait for the results and it came back that I had fractured a vertebrae.
Was it an L4 fracture?
It was a pars fracture. And I, at this point, like I said, I think it was my L4 if I remember correctly.
Okay. And then like when you got the MRI, was that like the moment you were like, oh, this is bad. Like this is bad. Or was it before? Was it more like when you were on the strip, like laying down? Like when was it when you were like, okay, this is bad. This could ruin everything for me.
I would say the MRI results, because first of all, that doctor really didn't explain things to me well. I don't even think he told me it was a fracture. No, he did. He told me it was a pars fracture, which at that time I was like, I still don't really understand what that completely means. But, or like, I think it's a stress fracture. I don't know. But he like told me that. When I went down on this strip, I mean, I was in excruciating pain, but I kind of was like, oh, I'll get over it. You know, I mean, we had a significant amount of time. Never at my point, like, did I think that I fractured my back, because it just came out of nowhere. Like I had some kind of like small pain and then all of a sudden I was in excruciating pain. It's kind of like, I don't understand. Anyways,
did you ever like figure out like what made it like fracture, or was it like was there a moment where you were like, oh my god, like I think that's when I did it, or do you think it like happened over time? I don't know how that works.
I think it was overtraining. Like I said, I didn't take days off. I also, hold on, we'll get to that actually.
Okay.
We'll get to that in 1 second. Let me finish with the L4 thing. So he told me it was a pars fracture, and I remember like not understanding what that meant. I was like, what do you mean a fracture? Like what? And then it was also kind of like these things that just kept happening and I didn't want to believe them, because I was like, you can't be telling me I have a fracture. I'm competing in like 10-12 weeks at the Olympics. Like there's no way, like you're wrong. So I remember I called Jeremy and like he already had like, either they sent him the results or I told him what they said, and I was like, what are you talking about? Like what does a fracture mean? And he also tried to explain it, because you also have to be very sensitive to an athlete about to compete who's stressed out. You don't, like, it's a fine line of telling them how serious the injury is versus like,
and then like freaking them
right
out.
So I mean that's also a fine line for him, so that's got to be an awful situation. But they told me I should be taking 6 to 8 weeks off at the hospital.
I remember that.
I don't have six to eight weeks, but I remember I was like, oh yeah, okay, sounds good. And I walked, I was like, they're crazy, like there's no 6 to 8 weeks off for me. I literally can't. Like I remember I freaked out, I was crying hysterically, because like I said, I wanted to be in the peak. I wanted to be training. I wanted to be ready. Like I wanted to, if I went out, I wanted to dominate. And telling me that I can't train was awful, was absolutely awful. But Jeremy and I kind of worked out a plan. But okay, let's go back to how I thought it happened. Like I said, it happened from overtraining. I wasn't taking time off. All I wanted to do was work. I wanted to be the best. But I think the real reason it happened, which I learned actually last year, I learned that in America, most personal trainers aren't teaching you the proper way to lift. There's so many factors involved in the way you lift. And I spent with my new personal trainer, I spent 2 whole days learning how to do every single exercise correctly. We went through like 46 different exercises where I would have to do them and he would correct me, where you have to squeeze your belly button into your spine to protect your lower back from injury. When you're squatting, you don't want your knees to go over your toes. When you're like, every exercise has all these factors of how you can hurt yourself. And I was never, ever taught.
Right, because if you do it wrong.
Exactly. I was never taught how to do things correctly, which like if you're doing 5-pound weights, 3-pound weights, there's only so much you can do. But if you're lifting heavy and you're like consistently and your body's not able to rest because I went from the gym to practice almost every single day, like your body doesn't have time to recover and like prevent all those injuries, and you're exhausted, so that's also hurting you. So that's what happened, is nobody explained to me how to do these exercises correctly, and therefore I hurt myself.
I had no idea. I didn't know I'm guessing that was the reason you stopped going to your old personal trainer.
Kind of.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's so messed up.
Which, I mean,
I'm sure it wasn't done on purpose, but
it definitely wasn't. I mean, I was good friends with him and I still am to this day, but I I don't think, and I've never told him that because, or not in that sense where I where he caused him that injury. I just kind of, I started asking more questions and I like kind of had a conversation mm-hmm. with him about it in a different way. Like I never wanted him to feel, I mean, because that's awful. I don't know what I would do to myself if I found out like I was the reason an Olympic athlete or I get, or whatever, an athlete on their way to Olympics.
Soon to
could,
be.
Like I could, he could have cost me my Olympic medal.
Right. So
crazy. So then after that, we kind of had a plan of just maintenance. Like Jeremy knew that there was no time like taking off. Like that was never a question of like, or a conversation of him being like, okay, you're not training. It was like, what can we do to help you be able to train, but also not kill yourself? Like, how do we make sure that we don't make this worse and we continue?
Yeah, like, how do we make sure we have the most, like, pain-free plan?
Pretty much,
you,
yeah.
Basically.
So I ended up getting a back brace, which is somewhere still in this house. I don't know. Like,
I know where it is.
Good thing you know where it is. We're going to have a conversation after this. And so I had that for practices. I had to change practice so much. I cried all the time. I was in so much pain. Because again, I have a fracture in my back, which you don't realize everything you do involves your back. Walking.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything. So I had that back brace. I couldn't, these are like more technical terms for fencers, but so for the fencers listening, I couldn't lunge because it's an explosive movement. I couldn't change directions quickly. I had to do everything slowly. So,
oh, for sure.
Like when I was practicing, not only was I in pain and crying, I was upset because I couldn't do things. I was getting my ass handed to me because I couldn't do anything. Like I was like a broken person,
right, yeah,
trying to compete against people or trying to train with people that are on like world teams, on Olympic teams, like on national teams. Like it was awful. And it was like, and it's difficult on your mental state because,
oh yeah, for sure.
I came off like being like destroying everybody to like not being able to perform. And then it was like, at the same time, like I kick into, I need to beat this person and I need to win. Like Olivia knows that I hate losing. It literally hurts my soul. So having to be at practice losing to these people, there'd be moments where I would be like, I don't even care. And I would like do a fast movement because I wouldn't think about my back. And then I would hurt myself more and I would start crying and I'd be mad at myself. It was a brutal time, not gonna lie. And then there's like at the same time, my coach is stressed out because he's like, how are you gonna compete like this? And I just had to be like, I need you to stop asking me these questions. Like, we're gonna make it work. If I have to be on massive amounts of painkillers the day of the Olympics, that's what I'll do. So it was just a difficult time for everybody.
Right.
So that sucked. I did also have to get steroids, which I had like the whole TUI, which is like an exemption from the Doping Association or whatever, World Anti. I don't even remember the terms for all these things because I haven't had to deal with them for several months. But it was like all registered. So like I wasn't taking anything that was illegal. But I know I had to go into hospital again for that. So yeah, I mean, that was obviously brutal. And then it came to competing, which the day of the competition, that wasn't even a thought that crossed my mind. I took some painkillers, I remember, in the beginning of the day. Then I retook it again. So, and then there's also so much adrenaline going that it doesn't even matter what's going on.
Right.
It didn't matter. I didn't feel any pain that day, thankfully, but...
Oh, for sure.
Aside from the fact that I actually had a rib pop out and I couldn't turn my head. Also, a lot of people don't know that. I was in massive amounts of pain from that. Mine is the fact when I was actually competing, yeah, I didn't feel it. I kind of forgot about it, but I literally... My rib popped out from all the stress and we couldn't get it back in that day. So I competed with a...
A dislocated rib.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
Being like a soon to be at the time Olympic athlete, did you have pressure from like others specifically to like recover like better or faster?
I mean, the thing is from the people that knew, which like I said, around like the national coach, I would do everything in my power to not let him see what was going on. And like Jeremy and I kind of talked about it where I was like, he can't know. Like we can say, we said something. I don't remember what it was, but we didn't say that I had a fracture.
Mm-hmm.
Because like there is no recovery. Like it was 6 to 8 weeks. Like you can't, there's no like, it's a like thing where we can fix it, right? Like bones need 6 to 8 weeks to heal. Which actually, fun fact I learned last year was this fracture never heals.
I know.
Nobody told me that the day this happened. Nobody, Jeremy, the doctors, nobody told me that this was something that I'm going to have for the rest of my life. Like it's, I found out literally last year where I was like, oh, I had a pars fracture. And like whoever it was like working on my back like laughed and she's like, ha, good one. You had it. Yeah. Okay. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, no, this is something you have for the rest of your life. Like you have a pars fracture forever.
I wonder if it'll, if you hopefully start fencing again soon, if it'll kind of like flare up if you do like intense training again. Like, is that a thing where it'll like kind of like get back to like as bad as it was before the Olympics, or like you think it had enough time to kind of heal where it won't get as bad?
Olivia, do you not remember me crying hysterically after moving into my apartment?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have to be careful.
I didn't realize that was the from that.
Yeah, it's because my I have a broken back. It flares up if I have to, like, if I feel my hips, my hip flexors being tight, I have to lay on a lacrosse ball because the next step after that is my back. If I feel my knee, I have to lay on my hip for my hip flexors because I know that's going to be the next thing. Like, it's just something that I've learned what I need to do and how to react. And there are certain things that I have to avoid. Like, I can't run on concrete. Like, even if I was running for the train here at home, when I was living at home before I moved, I would hurt. So, like, there was times where I knew I would have to run for the train, but it was like, it's not worth it. I know I'm going to be in pain afterwards, so I'd rather miss this train and be late for practice than run on concrete
and then be in pain in practice all day.
So there's a lot of factors that I have to consider of things that I can and can't do. Like, even today when the clock almost fell down and I had to go and catch it, I tweaked my back. My back's been hurting ever since this morning. So it's just one of those things that I've had to learn that I'm gonna have this for the rest of my life, and there's things that I have to pay attention to. So I do have to focus more on like stretching after practice because I know it's gonna hurt. But Speaking of like the whole back thing, you were there when this was all happening, but I remember there was a time where I fell down the stairs after my back injury.
Yeah.
And I literally like slipped where I just lost my footing and I went down the entire staircase. And
it was like bump-a-da-bump-a-da-bump-a-da-bump.
Literally, yeah. And I remember myself being like in panic of, oh my God, what did I just do? And I remember you and mom ran over in like complete like concern, shock, terror of what the hell just happened? Are you okay? Just panic. But the recovery process was, I mean, it's just a broken bone. There's no like real rehab that you can be doing during the healing process.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, like, how do you really have, like, what do you do for like rehab? But I guess there's nothing really, because I mean, it's a bone. It's not like a muscle. It's not like a tear. Like, it's just something you have to kind of deal with, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So it was, I guess, I mean, like the 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, I don't even know what would happen had I been able to actually have the 6 to 8 weeks off, like right off the bat, because I had pain constantly for, I think it was like 12 weeks after the Olympics, mm-hmm. where I went back to finish Penn State in my classes, so I wasn't training, but I remember I did try to go one practice there and I couldn't because I had pain that day, and that point was like 10 weeks or something. So it took 12 weeks where, again, like I couldn't work out because I learned that almost everything inflames your back or you feel it in your back. The only thing that I could do was ride the bike at the gym. That was it. That was my only form of exercise.
That.
Like, I would go every single day for like 2 hours and just ride the bike, because mentally I just came off the Olympics where I was training nonstop all day, every day. That was my thing, to not being able to do anything. It was just a lot. So I was like, okay, well, I mean, I could ride the bike. Let me at least do that. I had to be careful on walks with the dogs because it did hurt my back. So it was like short and sweet walk. So yeah, so literally just like the recovery process was just me walking and me stretching like my hamstrings, for example, that like, I mean, all of our muscles are all connected. So I would stretch because, again, that's all I could really do. I mean, I couldn't do abs. Like, I couldn't do anything but rest. And I mean, afterwards, it was kind of just like slowly getting it back into fencing and learning how to live with this new injury, which I at the time I didn't know that this was permanent, but just kind of learning of what I need and like talking to Jeremy and working with him. I've done a lot of acupuncture ever since. I mean, it flares up every so often, especially because we compete on concrete, which is the stupidest
awful
thing in the world. And I don't understand how that's legal within a sport that's already so difficult on our joints. We're doing it on concrete just to make it even better. So after every single national tournament, I come back home broken because we're on concrete.
It's awful.
Yeah. And I just don't even understand how it's legal. And we've tried to have these conversations, but it is what it is. So yeah. So I mean, I'm like, I understand those things, and I've had to change things in my shoes. So I have like heel cups to help myself. And again, I just let like whoever is working that event, I let them be aware and we prepare. And afterwards I have to go lay on the table for a while. And it sucks. It's definitely not fun. And training camps are more difficult because we're training all the time and obviously doing a whole bunch of different movements. So it all really sucks.
Well, there's obviously a lot of downsides. to all of this. Clearly, I mean, anyone with ears can hear that, but were there any positives to this experience? Either like it was just a good learning experience, or were there any positives to this, like, at all in any sort of way? Because you gotta always look at the positives.
Yes, you know me, I always try to find the positives in things. I guess, I mean, at the time it would have been really difficult for me to come up with them, but now that I have kind of learned to live with this, it definitely, I wasn't really a person to do that much warming up or cool downs because I just never needed to. But this kind of taught me that I really do. So I know, like, I now will take more time to warm up before a competition or before a training session. I have learned that I do need rest days, which they'll never be easy for me. I hate them so much. But there's days where I know my body hurts and I'll come in and even though my coach looks at me and probably thinks I'm lazy, I tell him, listen, I can't do this. My body hurts. So I can't train like this. Like, I know I don't want to hurt myself more. I'm getting older, obviously, so your body doesn't recover nearly as quickly as it used to. So in that aspect, it kind of taught me that I do sometimes need to slow down. I guess we can look at that as a positive.
Yeah, that's true. Not a lot of positives, I guess, to it.
No, definitely not. There's not a lot of positives to breaking.
Definitely not.
It's definitely not enjoyable in the least. But I mean, yeah, it sucked having, like I said, do that happen right before the Olympics. I tore my quad in 2017, and I remember, like, the recovery also was 21 days, nothing where you can use your quad. That's it. Like, you can do fencing from standing, but you can't do anything where you're going to move it. If you move this muscle, you're going to be back to 21 days.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a nightmare. Having an injury as an athlete is a nightmare because they never come in, like, there's no perfect moment for an injury. There's always a bad moment.
Oh, definitely.
Because you're not
going
to get an off season because you're not training. So you're going to always get it in season, and you just always pray that it's, like, not a tear. You pray that it's not a fracture. You hope that it's, like, a little thing. Because that's the least amount of time. Yeah, but it's always awful to receive news that you're injured and being in season and having to deal with it and somehow, I don't know, not breaking down.
Right. Well, going back to the positives, I guess maybe you thought of it this way. Like, were you almost more proud of yourself when you did win the medal and you were like, wow, well, shit, like, I just won a medal while, like, having a broken back? I feel like that's a little bit of a flex. Like, I did win a medal, but just to let you all know, I also had a broken back, and I competed at the Olympics, and I did fire. Like, I did really well. Like, is that a flex for you? Like, I would use it as a flex.
I mean, I don't really think about that because it, like, again, I didn't really, like, when I was competing, I didn't feel it because of all the adrenaline, but when I was, I mean, there's a very emotional photo of me on our refrigerator of me sobbing hysterically of, like, after we won, and it's in those moments, like, literally in that moment, I remember going through every single difficult moment along the way of, like, all the times I thought of quitting, all the times I had a bad practice or a bad competition or everything seemed impossible, my back injury. But meanwhile, through all these things, I kept going and I kept trying to, like, I kept finding ways to get through them. So yeah, that definitely came to mind. And, like, it was crazy. Like, it was obviously crazy, like I said, because here I thought, you know, my back was broken. I might not even be able to compete. But not only did I compete, I did well and we medaled. So no, that, I mean, that thought definitely crossed my mind that day. But on a regular basis, when I think of medaling, do I think about that? No, you kind of forget about it.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, in the moment, I'm sure it was kind of like, that's cool. And, like, it's like a cool little, like, party trick. Like, I am an Olympian, like, you all know that. But here's a little fun fact. I actually won that medal
with a broken back
with my team while I had a broken
back. Yeah. I mean, it's, again, it's not something that I tell people because I don't know, you just don't really think about it. And it's like, but I thought, like, I did my whole Olympic Channel interview and that kind of came up. I don't remember how that came up, how he knew or had I brought it up, but that was, like, the first time that I really talked about it publicly. So ever since I did that interview and I started this podcast, I knew that I wanted to do an episode. And also, I do want to do an episode about, like, what it's like as an athlete having a huge injury and having to recover. And we're going to speak to somebody that had a more public injury than I did, because, like I said, nobody really knew about it.
A very special someone. An extremely special someone that everyone will be very excited about. I'm very excited.
I'm excited too. We got a really good guest coming, guys. So like I said, I wanted to just take this time to talk about my injury and really focus on that one.
I actually have one more question that I just thought of now. When did your coach like find out and he was like, wait, like you were competing with a broken back? Like, how did that happen? No. And like, what was his reaction? Like, did he care?
Yuri was very concerned. Again, I don't remember like all the specific details at this point because this was so long ago, but he knew. I don't think he was in China with us.
I wasn't talking about Yuri though. I was talking about the national like coach.
Oh, Ed. Oh, Ed doesn't. He still doesn't know. I never told him.
Oh, I thought he would somehow find out by just like word of mouth. I don't know, watching things on YouTube, whatever.
Well, spoiler alert, he could care less about me.
Yeah, I mean, I know that.
I'm still trying to decide how much I'm going to go into that or if at all. But yeah, no, he definitely could care less about me. There's no research that he's doing on me or any extra interest. Definitely not happening.
No, I mean, yeah, I just figured, I don't know, like someone would tell him, he would find out somehow.
No, we told him it was some kind of an injury. I don't remember what it was, whether we told him it was like a sprained back or something, but we definitely did not tell him that I had a fracture in my back. that was like something that like Jeremy, me and Yuri had a conversation where like, we're not telling anybody that this is this major of an injury. We're keeping this as hush as humanly possible.
Okay, well, with that, here is another question. I'm just on a roll right now. Was it hard to kind of keep it a secret and for people around you? I mean, like, I know you're not someone who cares what people think, but I'm sure it was difficult for people to see you as someone who's literally training to be in the Olympics in a couple weeks. Was it hard for you not to be like, no, I'm not lazy, or I'm not like, you know, just ending practice early because I feel like it, like I have a broken back, and then you're like, oh, shoot, like I can't tell people that. Like, was that difficult?
Yeah. I mean, at practice in my club, people knew because I mean, it's just like these people I knew weren't gonna go like call him up and let him know. So like they knew, and I mean, there's like times where people would tell me to stop because, like I said, I was crying hysterically and I was upset and I would get frustrated at myself for losing. I mean, there's only so much for somebody that, like I said, losing just hurts my soul and being. So there's only so much I can do to explain to myself that this is the way it has to be, and I can only do so much. But it was absolutely really difficult to not be able to training as hard as everybody else, and like then you become jealous of like people going hard and doing the full practice, and you're just sitting there like, I literally just had to step away. I mean, at the Olympics, we didn't really make practices that long in general because it wasn't really as like much preparation, but like keeping us, like it was a fine line of like overtraining and undertraining. So like we just did like the basics to like stay in the game. And there was a lot of practices that I actually wasn't even training with the girls because they were doing their thing and I was training with the other people. Like we had sparring partners. So like the men's team brought sparring partners because they didn't have an alternate. They didn't have a team event. And we did. So like me and the one guy, like we would train, and he would like call me like, what do you need as, you know, an alternate to stay prepared? I think we told him like if something happened, he understood and whatever. But like I said, around the girls, it's not like I even trained that much with them because they were doing their own thing, making sure they were prepared for individual. So at the actual Olympics wasn't as difficult, thankfully. It was just, honestly, it was just the most difficult for me not feeling like, or knowing that I can't do everything that I want to be doing to be as prepared as possible. That was the struggle of it all, just the mental aspect and just wanting to train. Like you don't miss training as much as you do when you're injured and you can't do it at all. That's literally the time where you're like, I regret all the times where I maybe left practice earlier than I should have, or I could have kept going and I chose to leave, and here I am wishing that I could be training. So a lot happens mentally that athletes won't put out there. There's a lot of times that your favorite athletes are injured and they're not telling anybody because they can't. Like I said, in 4 more episodes, we're gonna have our special guest.
Oh my god, I'm so excited
to talk further about this, and we'll kind of talk more along the lines of what it is, the mental toll and the emotional toll, and how important a support system is in those moments. I don't want to give away who it is because it's going to be a fun little surprise. Anyways, that's pretty much all that I really have on the topic. I just wanted to cover the story, kind of touch on how, you know, how we feel as athletes dealing with it mentally. Thank you so much to my little baby sis for assisting and asking some wonderful questions. So I can't wait for you guys to hear the next episode. Make sure you don't miss it.
I know, I can't wait either. Thanks so much for having me. That sounded fake. Actually, thank you.
Go
for
away.
Me.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.